Right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to CCC Highland Square. My name is Brian. So good to be with you guys. Deacons, come on down and serve us. We're going to take our offering. If you're new, if you're a guest and just checking us out, special welcome to you. Terry's back at the welcome table, and we'd love to make your acquaintance if you have any questions about who we are, what goes on around here, or anything you got a question about. Middle school, you guys can be dismissed, and we've got middle school happening this week right down the hall in the gym, so y'all can head out, and I hope you guys have a great time. Also, just a reminder that we've got a volunteer lunch after this service downstairs. For those of you that are volunteering, you should know, and that should be all clear to you. If you are not volunteering but would like to, I'd love to invite you guys to come hang out with us and just see what areas there are available to volunteer in. So with that, we're going to jump in because we got some stuff to dig into. And we are back in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5 in our Blessed series, as we just kind of dig into the Beatitudes and use them as a catalyst into other parts of the Word to see what God has for us. So Matthew chapter 5, and while you are turning there, I'm going to kind of get us ready for where we're going to go. Okay, you guys good? Everybody good? All right. So I'm married to Megan. You guys know Megan, my wife. We've been married for a while. I don't know how long, but it's been a while. Every now and then, Megan will say something or she will do something that when I see her, it's as if I am looking at her mom, right? You guys ever, I don't know if you're married, if you've been around somebody and you know that person's parents, has it ever happened to you where you see them and you think, wow, the way you said that thing, that wasn't you, that was your mom right there, right? And every time it happens, it kind of weirds me out a little bit, okay? Just being truthful, it makes me feel a little bit weird. I love Sherry, but that's Megan's mom, but it's weird every time Megan channels Sherry and like goes Sherry mode in what she says or what she does, okay? But it makes sense to me that Megan would say things or do things that would remind me of her mom, right? Because, here's why it makes sense. Because my wife has been in a deep and intimate relationship with her mother for 42 years, okay? That's a long time to be in relationship with somebody, because when you walk with somebody that long, their mannerisms, their characteristics, you just start to like incorporate some of that into you and you take on their ways, okay? In addition to the fact that that she is literally a biological image bearer of her mom, right? But you put 42 years of experience side by side with the fact that she is the offspring of Sherry, it makes sense that she would do and say things regularly that would remind us of her mother, okay? Now, similarly so, we have a Father in heaven if we are in Jesus. And our Father in heaven observes and he watches us. And from time to time, we do things, and the Father looks down from heaven and grabs the Son and grabs the Spirit and says, check it out! Look at him! Look at her! They look just like me right now! Right? There are times where we bear the image of our Father so clearly that he's like, yes, it's happening right now, right? And our Father who sees us gets really excited because we look and act and behave like him, okay? Now, in the scriptures, there's all sorts of ways that we mirror and reflect and bear the image of God, and all of them are good. But in the Beatitudes, there's only one that specifically Jesus highlights as, right, when you become like this, and all of his followers will become like all the Beatitudes, already established that. But when we become like this Beatitude that we're going to talk about this morning, Jesus uniquely says, when we do this one thing, it's then that we are like so reminiscent, that we so look like, sound like the Father, right? You look so much like the Father when you Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, here it is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. They will look like their Father. It will be clear that they are in their Father's family when we make peace. Okay. Regarding peace, you've talked about this at length in the past. Peace is this Hebrew word, this idea called shalom, right? And shalom is what God is. God, shalom is the harmonious, right interrelationship of all things. It is harmony and flourishing mixed together, and it permeates all of who God is. Okay? So who is God? What is he like? Well, we've got a whole bunch of ways to describe him. But for sure, one of the things that he is peace. Right? That's who he is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for eternity past, up until the present, and it will be this way in eternity to come, right? That they are in flourishing, harmonious, right relationship with each other, right? They don't have to try. They don't have to work really hard. They don't have to establish rules with each other, right? Because there is shalom, there is peace among them, because that's who they are. Okay? And then God creates angels and all sorts of crazy beings that we see in the scriptures. And God is in harmonious, right, flourishing relationship with all of these beings, right? And then even down to the things that God makes, he is in harmonious, right, relationship with all things, right? Because that's who he is. And so heaven, right, heaven is the distinct place that we know where God is dwelling right now, right? And in the heavens have a culture of peace. Okay? There is harmony and flourishing in the space where God is sitting on his throne right now, right? And the angels are ordered around that, and it's just an alive and vibrant and beautiful space because that's who God is, and everywhere he goes, that's the culture that he creates. Heaven is a place, a culture of shalom. Now, this world that we occupy is a lot different than that, okay? Some of us read the news this week. Some of us lived this week and have experiences that we could look back on and say, this world does not have that heavenly culture of shalom all about it right now, right? Because we know and experience every single day that this world is filled with division and strife and separation, okay? Which is the opposite of peace. Okay? We divide out. We fight against each other. There's conflict all over the place, right? We're declaring war interpersonally and then geopolitically, right? This is a conflict, divisive, separated out kind of culture that we inhabit here. And it's that way because we decided, Genesis chapter 3, to chart our own way forward and to establish our own culture, right? Because we thought we could do it better. And this is what we get. Okay? Now, the story of the scriptures, the story of the Bible, is this, that God, who is peace, observes that we are in a desperate place, not because he made us or put us there, but because we chose to walk away. And God is intent to bring his peace and his culture of peace from heaven to earth. Okay? They were never meant to be disjointed. In Genesis chapter 2, heaven and earth intersected and overlapped like two circles that perfectly intersected and overlapped. In Genesis 3, when we separated out, when we in strife rebelled against him, those circles separated apart where now they interacted just a little bit, but we pulled them apart and we separated out from God's peace and the culture of peace and we messed everything up, right? But from Genesis 3 on, God is seeking to bring his peace, to bring his culture of peace to bear upon this divisive, strife-riddled, separated world. That's what he wants to do. Okay? And so in the way that God brings his peace here is not through rainbows and unicorns and marshmallows, right? It's through him literally making peace, right? And he makes peace in a thousand ways, but the apex epitome of God's peace-making move from heaven to earth is when Jesus goes to the cross and literally pours his life out, right? He dies the sinner's death. He takes sin and rebellion and division and separation and dysfunction upon his shoulders, and he bears it in himself so that he can take that nastiness from us and then give us his peace, right? That transaction needs to happen, and that's the offer that Jesus gives everyone constantly, okay? But that's how peace is made on the cross, and it's a difficult process to make peace, but Jesus does it. Okay, bringing heaven to earth, that's his goal. So now Jesus, in the Beatitudes, is talking to sons and daughters of God, those who are going to follow him and those who are even now, as he's speaking, right, on the mountaintop, and those who will hear it 2019 years later, right? The Beatitudes are those who are his, who are following him, okay? And as his children, we have the distinct honor of dwelling in his presence, right? Haven't we got, like, every Beatitude, it seems like we go back to this place, right? The analogy was that in God's presence, we are crushed, right? And if you weren't here, just know that the crushing is a good thing, right? In his presence, Beatitudes, we are melted. And that sounds bad. It sounds like it hurts, and it does, but it's good, right? But the Beatitudes are what happens as we dwell in the presence of God, right? And in the presence of God, we learn who he is. We fall in love with who he is. We're in relationship with him, and we learn and take on who he is onto ourselves, right? In the same way that I look at my wife and say, whoa, you look just like your mom, in his presence, we grow to look just like our father, okay? And one of the ways that we grow to look like him is in his peace, and specifically in his peacemaking assertiveness, where everywhere he goes, he wants to bring peace where it is not, right? So in God's presence, we see his peace, we feel and experience his peace, right? We are overwhelmed by what it cost him to bring us peace, and we learn the language of God so that we can then begin to speak the language of God. We see it, receive it, it becomes normalized to us, and then, and only then, can we bring it everywhere we go, okay? Peacemakers. Let me say this, the word maker there is, it's an assertive word. It's not passive, it's assertive, okay? Jesus making peace on the cross, it was assertive, it wasn't passive, okay? So let's talk about peacemaking, and let's look at it through the lens of trends, okay? Let's talk about trends for a moment. Anybody know what this is? It's not just, yeah, not just a jean jacket. It's a stonewashed or acid washed jean jacket, which makes this a hot commodity, right? This is cool, okay? I want to take you back to the mid-1980s, because I remember them and they were awesome, right? Some of you guys do too. In the mid-1980s, here was my experience with stonewashed jeans, right? I was going to elementary school, I was doing my thing, and I wasn't really aware of trends. I didn't know what was cool, right? My mind wasn't keen on that stuff. I just wanted to get to, I wanted to get to recess, I wanted to get to the lunchroom. That's all I thought about. I wasn't thinking about cool at all. It wasn't a thought in my head until one day, right? I looked around my elementary school classroom and I realized, everybody's got this on. And that looks awesome. And I don't have any of that, right? And so I went home. My parents were really cool. They started to, like, get me a few stonewashed or acid-washed things, which is like taking denim and then doing something to it to make it look like this, right? I don't care what it, I don't know what they do, but it makes it look like this, right? So then I started getting some of it. And it was I felt cool as I was wearing it. And who wouldn't, okay? But in my recollection, here's what I know, right? I didn't study this week. I didn't do a history lesson on the trend of stonewashed denim. I didn't care enough to. It wasn't that big a deal for me, right? But here's what I know about trends. Malcolm Gladwell talks about this. All I know is that nobody was wearing stonewashed denim. And then suddenly, everybody, and then I came along later, everybody was wearing it, which means that there was some person somewhere, I don't even know where they were, I don't know who they were, but somebody said, you know what, I like denim and I like stonewashed, whatever that is, let's try it together. And they made one. And then they said, wow, that looks awesome. Nobody else is wearing it, nobody else has even heard or thought about this, but they started wearing this thing that they made. And a couple friends looked at that and said, well, that's cool. Where can I get that? And they said, well, I made it. I'll make you one. And they started making some for their friends. And then, like, everybody in that city, I don't know what city it was, but then, like, groups of people started seeing, saying, I need that too. And then, like, fast forward, right, it became a thing to the point where me, in my elementary school, I got to get me some stonewashed denim because it's cool, right? The trend caught on and then everybody got on board, right? So somebody made this a thing. It wasn't a thing, and they made it a thing. It literally became a cultural thing that everybody was involved in, at least all of us cool people, right? I was late to the party, but I was there, okay? So trendsetters are those who take something that is not, and they make it a thing. And it's contagious, right? There's a causal nature to it, right? Where you're stepping in, it's not passive, it's assertive, and you make a thing that's not a thing a thing, okay? What Jesus is saying is this, right? That as followers of his, we will be trendsetters, not necessarily in the area of fashion, although some of you will be, some of us won't be, but some of us will, but all of us will be trendsetters everywhere we go, for the sake of peace. We will be causal influences that in the relationships we step into, in the businesses that we go to, in the homes where we are, we will be agents of propagating peace, that peace will become a thing because we were there, even though it wasn't a thing before we got there, okay? Trendsetters for peace, that's not who the best of the best followers of Jesus are. That's who all of his sons and his daughters are, okay? And when we are trendsetting for peace, the Father says, yep, they're doing just like I do. They're looking just like I look, right? And it's a cool thing. Now, I wanna talk about this causal nature of us being influencers for peace, right? And Jesus draws this out in many places. I just want to look at two, okay? There's two ways that we can begin to engage in relationships that are filled with strife and division and confusion and angst and bad things, right? Two ways that in our relationships, division can be introduced. One is by us doing bad things to other people, okay? That's trend-setting in a negative way. The other is by other people doing nasty things to us. That's them trend-setting a divisive relationship with us. It's the only two ways that I know of that relationships get dysfunctional, okay? And Jesus addresses both of them, okay? Here's the first. The first is, Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5, right? Sermon on the Mount, starting in verse 23. Jesus, I'll read it to you, right? This is regarding me offending someone else. Here's what I need to do as a peacemaker. Jesus says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, right? This worship is happening here in Israel. It's a worship scene. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Okay, so Jesus is addressing a worshiper at the temple, and it just makes sense that while you are worshiping the God of harmonious, right interactions and interrelationships, right, as you are worshiping this peace-filled God, it would make sense that as you're worshiping and being in his presence, that it would become clear to you that there's a relationship where you have offended someone. Right? And it's interesting that in that place, Jesus says, if there in worship, you remember that someone has legitimate case against you, right? He fleshes that out in the next verses. If I've done something to offend somebody else and they're before the altar of God, I remember that. Jesus says, leave your gift. Go on out of the place where you're worshiping and be a trendsetter in that relationship for peace. Go find them, go track them down, make peace a thing there where it was not, and then come on back and take your gift, and then you can offer it before the God who is peace, right? But Jesus says, no, in that place, it's inappropriate to offer a gift before the God of peace where there's division and strife that you're responsible for, okay? So be an agent of peace, reconciliation, drawing together, healing in that relationship, in those relationships where you have done offensive things, okay? Now in Matthew 18, Jesus addresses the relationship that has gone south from the other direction, where someone else has done something to you that has caused that relationship to be divisive and filled with strife. They've done something against you. What do you do to be a trendsetter for peace? Well, Jesus maps it out for us, right? He says this, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. He says, if your brother sins against you, then here's what you do, right? A division has been introduced. Something nasty has gone on. You're not feeling real good about that. Now what? Here it is, very clear. If your brother sins against you, go. Okay? That there's an action, orientation there, right? Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, then do this. Take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Okay? So Jesus says there's division because they have done something to you. First, go and seek to make peace with them. Say to the person, not in an accusing, attacking, I hate you kind of a way, because that just breeds division. No, but in a peaceful way, say, I am so sorry that this happened. In this relationship, this is drawing us apart. I don't like that. God isn't pleased by that, but yet we need to address this thing that you did to me so that we can deal with it and there can be a coming together again, right? That's what we do. And Jesus says, if they hear you, if they receive that, then awesome. We've just trendsetted for peace in that relationship. But he says, but if they don't receive this reconciliation, if they choose not to honor what you're saying and, you know, make amends for what they've done, then go grab two or three friends, right? Brothers or sisters, also followers of Jesus, and go back and have the conversation again. But now it's a little bit heavier. It's not just mano y mano, you saying this is an issue. Now, right, there's weightiness attached to it because more image bearers of God have been brought along and they're saying, yes, we agree with this person that you have offended them, right? Peace has been violated and we need to make this right, right? That's a heavier conversation, right? The person should be feeling it now. And if they say, yes, I didn't see it the first time. I see it now. You're right. I'm sorry. Let's make this thing right, right? Then we all celebrate. We all hold hands and we sing kumbaya, right? Because we have trendsetted for peace where there was division. We've brought together that which has been separated. And God says, yeah, they're my kids. I love that. That's what I'm about, right? But if they do not get on the peace party bandwagon here, even if you've brought friends with you, then he says, then take it to the next step, right? And I say next step. Let me say this real quick. Jesus introduces for us a relentless pursuit of peace where there is division, right? Causal, trend-setting, assertive for making peace. Go to the person, if that doesn't work, bring friends, then but we're not done. If they don't listen to even you and your friends, verse 17, if he or she, whoever, if he refuses to listen to them, to you and your group, then tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and as a tax collector. Meaning, if you go through this relentless pursuit of peace in a peaceful way, don't be a jerk about it, but if you go about seeking peace in a peaceful way, you, the group, and then the whole church, if the other person who has wronged you still doesn't come along for the ride, right? If they're resistant to that, then here's what Jesus says you have to do. Because peace is such a big deal, you've got to kick them out. Right? If we're talking about whatever we're talking about, right? These are followers of Jesus. That person must be removed from the community. Why? Because they're agents of something else other than peace, right? Peace is such a beautiful thing. It is such a weighty thing. God is so for it that he will not tolerate people who do not get on board with that. But when people come in and sow seeds of division and dissension and factions, in separating out, right? When people do that, God says, no, danger, that's messed up, deal with it, right? And so he says, so you have to kick them out. which sounds, it sounds like, whoa, that's mean. It sounds like God's being like a jerk here. He's not. He's being the kindest, most gracious and loving God he can be, because he does not and will not allow dissensions and factions and divisions and all these things to be introduced into his people. His sons and daughters are peacemakers. And where we refuse that, he says, you must deal with them and remove the contaminating influence out, right? 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says the same thing. There's an individual who is unrepentantly doing things that are damaging to the relational body of the church in Corinth, and Paul literally says this. He says, here's what you have to do. Take them and hand them over to Satan, which sounds really bad, right? What he's literally saying is, here's what that means. You, right, for a period of time, take this person who claims to be a son or daughter of God, you must remove them from the body of Jesus and cast them out, right? Because all of your efforts to try to help them get right aren't working. Here, you have to remove them, and then hopefully, and here's what Paul says, hopefully when they're removed from the beautiful, shalom-laden people of God who are worshiping in the presence of the peace-filled God, hopefully out there in the world that is rampant with division and strife and all that nasty stuff, hopefully out there they will come to their senses and say, God, forgive me. This is ugly. You're beautiful. I don't like this. Your church is awesome. Forgive me for being an agent of division and nastiness. I bow my knees before you and repent. And then they come back as trendsetters for peace, right? That's the goal. But it's a serious, weighty thing that God says you must deal with it, right? So there is a trend-settingness in all of God's sons and daughters, and that is that we trend-set regarding peace, bringing peace where it was not. And it is serious business, right? So if we're called to be trendsetters, it's not what we're called to be, it's who we are in Jesus. We can either walk in that or not, that's up to us, right? But if we're not going to be trendsetters for peace, then there's a couple other things that we could be, but we don't want to be. What we could be is we could be a trend follower. Much like me in the stonewashed jeans in the mid-1980s, I'm just kind of going along with the flow because everybody's doing it, right? If you go along with the flow here in this world, then to varying degrees, you will be going along with division and separation and strife. You will be propagating that just because you're going along with it. But Jesus says, no, don't do that. Don't just be a trend follower. That's not who you are in me, okay? But if we're not going to be a trendsetter, we could be a trend follower. Don't do that. But we could be something even worse. We could be a trendsetter for the nasty things. We could be division creators, right? In the scriptures, just they kind of tease out what this looks like specifically. Like we could be gossips, we could be divisive, we could be sowing seeds of dissensions and factions and questioning this. Did this person, right? Did you hear they said that? Right? You could be that kind of a person who is literally everywhere you are going, seeking to, whether you're aware of what you're seeking to do or not. Sometimes we do stuff we don't even know about. Right? We're not clear what's going on in here. It just comes out. But oftentimes, right, there we can be agents of peace wrecking wherever we go. Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't. But Jesus says, no, don't be that. You look nothing like me when you do that. You look nothing like me. Don't do that. Be trendsetters for peace. Okay. I want to draw a picture now that I've drawn regularly here, and my hope is that at some point, long after I am gone, if I die this week, I'm hoping not to, but you'll be able to draw this picture. It'll just come to you, right, because it's that important. Here's the story of the Bible, and specifically our peacemaking call only makes sense through us understanding this picture and what God is doing, right? Here's what God is doing. He is aggressively and assertively making a move to bring his culture of peace to planet Earth, okay? Now, God honors his design. His design is brilliant, so it would make sense that he would want to honor it. And for God to make an impact on Earth, in order to honor his design, he has to go through, he doesn't have to, but he wants to, He has to go through human beings because he literally created us to be rulers over this place. This is our domain, and we are image bearers of God in that we are the rulers here. We're the influencers, we're the trendsetters, we're the movers and shakers here, right? And so when God wants to bring his peace from the heavens where it's full on, right? When he wants to bring that here and bring it south to earth, he's got to do that through people, which is us, right? So what he does is he offers us, right? We talked about this, that the cross is the apex of God's peacemaking, trend-setting work, right? So what God does is he moves assertively, aggressively towards us, and in Jesus, he offers us peace. Where there was division, where there was separation, where there was strife, because we were the trendsetters for all of those things. Genesis 3, that's on us, right? We trendset division with God. He steps in and he sets a different trend to make peace. And the only way that we can have peace is when we receive what Jesus has done to cover over our junk, okay? So he offers us peace through Jesus. Now, when we receive Jesus, here's what happens. The guilt and the shame that we used to feel because of how we've behaved with him, those are covered, right? And it's so good not to live with guilt and with shame. And what that does is it literally allows us to be reconciled to God. Where there's division, now there's peace, right? The harmonious, right interrelationship between us and God happens because of the cross. He covers our guilt, he covers our shame, right? And what that does, right? There's all sorts of consequences to that, and they're all good, right? What that does is inside of our hearts, it promotes a peace, right? A well-being, a sense of we're good. Not because in and of ourselves we're good, but because he says we're good. And because he loves us, right? It just, it creates this inner harmony, balance, flourishing inside of our very heart that feels different than all the things we used to feel. At least it does for me, right? I don't know about you, but I can feel a difference when I'm receiving the peace of God, right? And when the peace of God is welling up inside of me because I'm receiving it from him, then this amazing thing happens. Now, because I am in his peace, now I can begin walking in his peace, and I can begin extending it to the places where it's not, right? Where there's division and strife and tension. Now, not because I'm smart or wise or not because of any of these things, but because God's peace has been flooded into my heart, now I can go trendset for peace in all of these relationships where it wasn't, okay? And that's a really cool thing that God wants us to do, right? But if we don't get this order right, we're gonna mess everything else up, right? But it's not just God's peace coming between us and him and then peace coming into our own hearts and then peace extending between us and other people and trendsetting that, right? The drawing is not done. You guys know this if you've been here. Because we're also called to extend peace to the creation that we've been called to steward and rule over, right? What in the world does that look like? Well, it looks like a lot of things, but imagine this for a moment. Think about the work that you do. Think about the vocational giftings and the callings that God has placed on your life, many of them that we're not walking in right now, but we need to start asking him about that, right? Think about the vocational giftings that he's put in us to rule over this created order. Imagine if we could do all of that work from the place of perfect peace because we're receiving peace from him. Meaning that I'm going to work now and I'm not going with fear anymore. What if I mess up? What if I don't do it right? What if I get fired? What if my boss hates me? Oh no, what, right? All the fear that we bring into the workplace, into our, right? For homemakers, into the home, all the things we worry about. What would it look like for us to do our creational work without fear? It'd be awesome, right? Imagine what it would be like for us to do our creational work not motivated by greed, right? God, having to grab more and grab more and get this and get that. I'm working just so I can make money. I don't care how I'm doing or what I'm doing or how it affects anybody else. I'm just working to get my stuff because I need more, right? That makes our ruling capacity, like our vocational work, it makes it nasty, right? But if there's no fear, if there's no greed, boy, peace starts to become a real thing through the things that we do, right? Imagine if we could step into work from a place of peace where we don't have to strive to perform for the sake of growing a reputation to make ourselves feel good about ourselves, right? We work to gain a reputation to feel a certain way about ourselves because we're not walking in peace, right? It messes all this stuff up. But imagine if we could walk with peace and not have to strive for reputation through the things that we do, right? If there's no fear, no greed, no striving for reputation through all of our work is transformed. And it becomes an altogether beautiful thing, right? And so peace is, it's the harmonious right interrelationship of all things. Us and God, his peace floods into our hearts, the peace permeates into relationships, and then it floods through us as rulers, as, right, kings and queens over creation through the things that we do. This is how God moves. Okay? And if we mess with this order, then we've messed with the order. Understand? Okay, now, I want to illustrate this and make this a little more concrete for us. I want to tell you a story about how I nearly messed this up in one specific circumstance. Okay, I want to take you back. If you guys have been here for a while, you probably remember this. It was mid-February where I told you guys, I asked you to pray for me. You remember, I was driving near where I live. I was driving by a place of business, and they had a sign out front. Anybody remember this? And the sign, like, they always have like a joke or a witty saying or a ha-ha-ha, attention-getting something. And I drove by the place, and here was the sign, right? Mid-February, the sign said this. It said, the reason why they call it rap music is because the C fell off at the printers. You guys remember that? Okay. Now, if you can't spell, right, if you need to see it, you're visual, essentially what they're saying is they're calling rap music crap music, okay? And you're supposed to drive by and say, ha-ha, funny, and then go about your day, okay? So, but I was driving by that sign, and as I looked at that, I had kids in the back, I had a visceral reaction to it, right? It made me angry. And I had something else going on other than this in my heart, right? I wanted to immediately pull in to the place of business, and I wanted to go have a conversation with somebody about that sign. And I'll explain why in a minute. If you don't understand why I'm upset, you'll understand in a moment. But I realized, no, it is not good for me right now to go in and have that conversation. Because if I do, one, I'm not looking like my father, and two, good's not going to come out of this, right? Here's what I realized. This is what God wants to do, and this is how God moves. But in that moment, God was not the primary mover and shaker and influence in my heart in that moment. God was replaced by something else, right? This is my assessment of me. That God had been replaced by justice, okay? That in that moment, I was perceiving a cultural injustice. And I'm not the guy, I don't go around like picking fights with people. That's not what I do. But I saw this sign, and I'll explain to you in a second why. But my injustice bells were going off, right? And it was the primary influencer in my mind, in my heart at that moment, okay? And what justice caused inside of my heart was anger, okay? Now, God's not moving, he's not moving peace. Justice and injustice have caused anger to well up inside of my heart. And if, in that moment, had I pulled into that place of business and gone in and found somebody to talk to, then coming through me wouldn't have been a peace sort of a move. I would have propagated the strife in the dissension in the separation that I perceived that sign was propagating. Because I would have come at it in a certain kind of a way. I would have picked a fight with somebody. Not that kind of fight, but like a verbal fight, right? Just calling it out. And this is not what what God would have had for me, right? And I want to say real quick, we've got to be careful as Christians, because right now, and I'm affirming of this, but in the Christian subculture, courage and bravery are being lifted up as very high values. And I lift them too. I am not saying that we ought not do that. What I am saying, though, is that we need to be careful that we don't use courage and bravery in the ways that God never intended them to be used, okay? Because for me, to feel injustice, to have anger welling up in my heart, and then to step into that place of business trying to pick a fight with somebody, that's not courage and that's not bravery, right? Let's just call that me being assertive. Right? There's all kinds of personalities out there. We've got some assertive people in the place. You can be assertive in from a bad place, right? Which is where I was coming from, right? And my assertiveness regarding the injustice that I felt and the anger that I was feeling would have propagated the separating and the dysfunction that I was upset about, right? So let us not ruin the words courageous and brave when we really mean I'm just being assertive. They're very different, okay? Now, that's where my heart was. And here's what I knew, because, right, I'd read the Bible enough, and I know my heart well enough. James 1, 19 and 20. James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Right? The anger of Brian in that moment doesn't produce anything of value. Okay? So this is where I was, and I was on track to do some bad stuff, right? To continue in the trends of dysfunction and separation and conflict, right? I was all lined up in it. So I realized I don't go into the place now. I came to church that Sunday. I said, "You guys got to pray for me because I don't want to do this. I need God to do something else," okay? And then early that next week, then I was praying again about this. And then I went into the place of business. I felt like it was the right time. Do you know why I felt like it was the right time? Because I had something else going on inside of me. Because now I felt like, right, in my heart, I had resolved that God was going to be my primary influencer, not justice and injustice, okay? And as I was receiving peace from God, even in this place where I was still a bit angry, now me being assertive, right, assertive with my anger, now I'm receiving peace from God. I'm literally feeling it. And from this place, now, courage can well up. Because courage and peace go together, right? And so I prayed. And I said, right, church has prayed for me. I'm praying, God, you got to take me into this place. Allow me to meet the right person, guide this conversation, and may it be one of peace, right? Because I don't want it to go this direction. I want it to go in your direction. I want to make a friend here. I'm not looking to make an enemy. Help, okay? So I walk in, and it's mid-February. In the place of business, it was a garden center, which means there's nobody there, except for the two employees that happened to be in the place. So I walk back. There's nobody at the cash register. I walk back. I see a guy. It looks like he works there. And I say, "Excuse me." I said, "Can I talk to you for a second?" I said, Is there a manager here that I could speak to about something?" And he looked back and he said, "Well," he said, I mean, there's two of us here and we're kind of both managers." I said, "Can I?" And he said, you can talk to me." I said, "Okay." I said, "I just have a question for you," right? And I'm not looking to pick a fight, right? I'm trying to operate from the peace of God, right? I said, "I just had a question for you." I said, "You know, I drive by this place. I've been a patron here for a couple years." I said, "My question is, you know, the sign that you guys have out front." I said, what were you trying to communicate with that? Like, what's the message that you guys are trying to send through this, right? That the reason why they call it rap music is because the C fell off at the printers, right? You're calling rap music, crap music, right? And as soon as I say that, like, you can tell when somebody gets uncomfortable, right? It's like they kind of know how they think this conversation's gonna go. It's like they think I'm trying to pick a fight with them. And And he said, well, when you read that, how did you receive that? And then I started talking, and he said, oh, let's go sit down, right? And so we go and we sit down near the cash register, and here's what I said to him, right? And they're like, I'm operating from a place of peace here. I'm not being a jerk. I'm not trying to make an enemy. I'm not trying to win a fight, right? I'm trying to walk in the peace that God has shown me, and I'm trying to walk that out with him. And here's what I said to him, right? Here's the thing. And I went testimonial for a second. I said, I was raised in majority white spaces, right? And that's all that I knew. And I said, if I had just been raised in all white spaces and continued on that road, and I drove by this, I'd look at that sign, I'd say, ha ha, and I'd keep driving. I said, but several years ago, I started to pastor in a multi-ethnic church community. And I said, in that time, as I've navigated relationship with brothers and sisters of color whom I love, I said, I've started to see some things differently. Right? And I'm just peaceful here, right? And he says, well, and he's asked me the question, what do you see different, right? Like, he's with me. And I said, well, I said, here, thanks for, I said, yeah, thanks for asking. And I said, thank you, before I said anything, thank you for sitting down with me, because I know some people would just want to run from this, but I'm so thankful that you have the courage to even just sit here and listen to me, right? Trying to affirm him, trying to make a friend here, right? And I said, here's the thing, here's what I've seen and come to see over the last several years. I said, I realize that this place where your business operates, it's a majority white community, right? And the kinds of people that traffic around here, that drive by your store, their preferred kind of music is not rap music, but it's country music, right? Because I know that place, and I know the people that live around there. And I said, it's interesting to me that you guys chose not to like do a ha-ha funny thing about country music. And there's lots of funny things you can say about country music, right? But you chose not to. You chose to say something ha-ha funny about rap music, right? I said, so is the location, this being a country kind of a place, not a rap place, okay, that was interesting to me. And I said, here's the next thing. Here's what I know. I said, you know, I said that rap music comes out of a black cultural context, right? That rhythm and blues musicians, like in that place, rap music was one of the things that came out of that. And historically, right, white people listen to it, but it's historically come from a place of black culture, right? I know that to be true. We're in a white context here. And I said, and here's the next thing, right? He's just listening to me. This is all new stuff for him. New. He'd never heard this before in his life. I said, and here's the next thing. I said, you know, I realize, and I wouldn't have seen this if I were still in all white context, but I said the cultural and political context of our country regarding race right now is super charged in a negative way, right? There's stuff on the news about police brutality and shootings and all sorts of things. However you look at that, right, it's happening, and there's tension, there's conflict, right? There's a whole trend of division related to ethnicities at a national scale, and it's political, it's cultural, it's all the way around, right? And it's interesting that in that environment, I'm driving by and I see this sign, right? And it says to me that, like, maybe you're trying to communicate something here, or maybe you're communicating something you're not trying to communicate, right? And I said, here's the last thing. I said, and you probably didn't know this, right? And I wouldn't have known it either. But I said, it's mid-February. That means it's Black History Month. And I said, my brothers and sisters of color, right? And those who are in primarily black context, right? In school, they're learning about their uniquely American history. I said, which is very different than ours, right? What happened to my ancestors and yours was very different than what happened to their ancestors, right? And we talk about slavery. And he's like, yes. And he's like, wow, right? And the light bulbs are starting to go off with every single thing that I say, and it's all new to him, right? And he's listening to me. And now here's the thing. By the end of the conversation, it was so good. By the end of the conversation, he started asking me questions that he had already asked me in the beginning, right? But in the beginning of the conversation, I answered his question. He said, you know, where are you a pastor at, and what do you talk about your church? He didn't hear anything that I said, because he thought I was coming at him from a place of injustice and anger. And he was like, nervous, okay? But by the end of the peace conversation, he's asking me the same questions, and I can tell he's actually literally listening to me, and he knows that I'm Pastor Brian, and I pastor at Christ Community Chapel in Highland Square. It's a multi, right? And I told him the whole story about how we even got here, right? But now he was listening to me because a peaceful relationship was being built that allowed him to hear all of the things that I was saying, right? And peace was had in that day. And then he said to me this. He said, you know, I totally didn't see any of it that way, but thank you for saying that. And I'm gonna share that with the owner, right? Which is really cool, right? Now, he didn't go with his owner and say, hey, this jerk kid came in and picked a fight with me about our sign, ha, 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 right? That would have propagated a certain culture among that business. Nobody went into his owner and said, hey, I just had a great conversation with this pastor guy that came in, and I didn't, right? And that creates a different culture in the place where we need to trendset a different culture, right? And it only happened because I said, God, I'm not going in from injustice. I'm not going in with anger because that's going to produce strife. I need you to speak your peace into my heart so that I can navigate out of this space with peace and actually seek to make a friend and build a relationship, right? And that's what happened. Here's the deal. We cannot make peace out there until we have peace in here. And God is the only one who can flood it into our hearts, so we just have to receive it, and we have to be open in his presence to just loving him and receiving from him so that we can incorporate this into who we are, so that we can be called sons and daughters of God as we make peace in all of the places that we go, because that's what our family does. We trendset for peace. And with that, I want to pray for us. Band, come on up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you, first and foremost, are the trendsetter for peace with us. That where we divided away from you, where we sparked a conflict and a division from you, you sought about making that right. You set a trend. You caused a different way forward regarding our relationship with you because you sent Jesus to make peace between us. And Father, I pray for my own heart and for the hearts of my brothers and sisters that are here, that we would marinate in your peace, that we would walk in your presence, that we would begin to live in your culture of peace as we receive it. And then, Father, that we would take it to all of the places that we go, all the people that we meet, all the businesses that we work, all the families that we interact with. Father, would you make us agents of your peace everywhere we go because we've learned it from you, our Father, because we continue to receive it from you, our Father. Thank you for being the peaceful one and for giving it to us so that we can give it away. In Jesus' name.